O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, O Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, O Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity, by fire and water, and from everlasting death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter,
help us, Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment,
help us, Lord.
We poor sinners implore you
to hear us, Lord,
to rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To raise those who fall and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us, good Lord.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
grant us peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy. Amen.
O Lord, do not deal with us according to our sins.
Do not reward us according to our iniquities.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you desire not the death of a sinner, but rather that we turn from our evil ways and live. Graciously spare us those punishments which we by our sins have deserved, and grant us always to serve you in holiness and pureness of living. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading is from the second book of Moses, called Exodus, the seventh chapter. And the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring my hosts, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them. Moses and Aaron did so. They did just as the Lord commanded them. Now Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When Pharaoh says to you, 'Prove yourselves by working a miracle,' then you shall say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and cast it down before Pharaoh, that it may become a serpent.'" So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers, and they, the magicians of Egypt, also did the same by their secret arts. For each man cast down his staff, and they became serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Still, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he is going out to the water. Stand on the bank of the Nile to meet him, and take in your hand the staff that turned into a serpent. And you shall say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to you, saying, "Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness." But so far, you have not obeyed. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, with the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water that is in the Nile, and it shall turn into blood. The fish in the Nile shall die, and the Nile will stink, and the Egyptians will grow weary of drinking water from the Nile. And the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their rivers, their canals, and their ponds, and all their pools of water, so that they may become blood, and there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, even in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone.'" Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded. In the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, he lifted up the staff and struck the water in the Nile, and all the water in the Nile turned into blood. And the fish in the Nile died, and the Nile stank, so that the Egyptians could not drink water from the Nile. There was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. But the magicians of Egypt did the same by their secret arts. So Pharaoh's heart remained hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Pharaoh turned and went into his house, and he did not take even this to heart. And all the Egyptians dug along the Nile for water to drink, for they could not drink the water of the Nile. 7 full days passed after the Lord had struck the Nile. This is the word of the Lord. Yet he, being compassionate, atoned for their iniquity and did not destroy them.
He restrained his anger wrong and did not stir up all his wrath.
They still sinned despite his wonders. They did not believe.
Their heart was not steadfast toward him. They were not faithful to his covenant.
Yet he, being compassionate, atoned for their iniquity and did not destroy them. He restrained his anger often and did not stir up all his wrath.
He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and comes not again.
How often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert.
They tested God again and again, and provoked the Holy One of Israel.
They did not remember his power, or the day when he redeemed them from the foe.
When he performed his signs in Egypt and his marvels in the fields of sowing.
He turned their rivers to blood so that they could not drink of their streams.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Yet he, being compassionate, atoned for their iniquity and did not destroy them.
He restrained his anger often
and did not stir up all his wrath. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. When Jesus drew near the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation." And he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." And he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the city were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Our texts are the reading from Exodus 7 and the gospel reading you just heard. You may be seated. In Exodus chapter 7, when Moses and Aaron finally go to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and speak to him God's word, it doesn't seem to go well. We heard in Exodus 7 a couple of times it said that Pharaoh did not listen. Moses and Aaron cannot control how Pharaoh receives the word. They cannot control whether Pharaoh will listen or believe. I think it's worth us remembering, me as a preacher certainly, but all of you as well as Christians, as you speak the word in your daily vocations, it's not up to us to decide who will listen. It's only our job to do what God has said and to speak. Moses and Aaron don't have the job of creating faith. The Holy Spirit does that through the word. They are simply called to be faithful in what they are appointed to do and what God has sent them for, to speak and act on his behalf. God says of Moses that he will be like a god to Pharaoh, and that Aaron will be like Moses' prophet. It's interesting language. How can God say that Moses will be like God? Because Moses will speak God's word. Consider what we call this place at times. We call this place where we gather God's house. Why do we call it God's house? Because this is where he is, and this is where he is with his word. And so also Moses, because he has God's word, will be called like God. In the same way, you could say that all of us, through our baptism into Christ, are called sons of God. It's a beautiful title that we've been given. So Moses goes as God's representative, as God's spokesman. He goes in the stead and by the command of Yahweh, the God of Israel, to speak to Pharaoh. Moses has this promise as he speaks, that the one who hears him hears God. The same thing happens among us. When God sends his pastor, his preacher, to speak his word, when you hear that word spoken by your pastor, you're hearing not simply your pastor's voice, but you are hearing the very word of God. When you hear the absolution spoken in the stead and by the command of your Lord Jesus Christ, it is the word of your Lord that you hear. And when you hear the bread and wine consecrated, Jesus says, "This is my body, this is my blood." You are listening to him. Now, maybe Pharaoh wanted to say something like, "Well, if God wants to talk with me, he can come and talk to me himself. If God has a command for me, why doesn't God show up to tell me?" Well, God sends his messenger. God sends the one to speak his word. Pharaoh doesn't get exceptional treatment. In fact, if he won't listen to Moses, why would he listen to God? Because God is the one who has sent him. You might remember a similar story from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 16, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man and Lazarus both die, and the rich man goes to hell and Lazarus goes to heaven. And the rich man asks God to send Lazarus back to warn his brothers, or to Abraham to send Lazarus back. And Abraham says, "Well, they have God's word. They have Moses and the prophets. If they don't believe that, they're not going to believe someone who is risen from the dead." We are called to listen to God's word, even when it comes through the voice of a man who is a fallen human being. This is God's word spoken and given to us. In Exodus 7, it seems like Moses and Aaron have finally learned their lesson because they simply do what God commands. They speak to Moses or to Pharaoh, and they fill his ears with God's word, and they fill his eyes with God's signs. God reveals himself to us as well, and he does it through the scriptures. If we want to hear what God has to say, if we want to see the wonders that God does, then let us open the scriptures and hear them from the Old and New Testaments. Here are God's word for us, and here are his wondrous works. But Pharaoh does not listen. That's not Moses and Aaron's job. Their job is simply to speak. God, in fact, tells them, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart." That brings up the question of, well, is God the one then that causes sin? Does God take pleasure in Pharaoh's wickedness? Is God responsible for Pharaoh's unbelief? And the answer is no. Pharaoh is the one who doesn't believe. And in response, eventually, after many plagues and times, God will then harden Pharaoh's heart as well. When Pharaoh has despised the grace that's been given over and over and over again, when he refuses to believe, then God will reward him with eternal condemnation and punishment. We might ask then, why does God even bother to send the word to Pharaoh if he knows that Pharaoh is just going to reject it? Well, why does God bother to send the word to anyone, to you or to me? Because he is gracious and he is merciful, and he desires all men to come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. And he is gracious and merciful to us, and he sends his word to us again. It's true that Pharaoh doesn't believe that word of truth, and so that in place God is going to allow him to believe a delusion and a lie. I wonder if it isn't in that moment when Moses and Aaron throw down the staff and it turns into a serpent, and then Pharaoh's magicians do the same thing, if that isn't the moment when Pharaoh's heart really begins to harden. For a moment, maybe, he's ready to believe until his magicians can do the same thing, and now Pharaoh has his loophole. "Well, anything your God can do, I can do as well." And he refuses to believe. In the wickedness and hardness of his heart, he refuses to believe the word that is revealed to him. And in this way, Pharaoh will be his own judge. He's been given the word again and again and again. He's had many opportunities and many times to believe. He's been sufficiently warned. He will be without excuse. In his blindness, he will go from sin to sin, and then he will go to death. The reason why we are here today, and the thing that we would ask of our God, is that he would keep us from this punishment, that he would keep our hearts from becoming hard, and that he would replace our hearts of stone and our ears that are deaf with hearts of flesh and with ears that hear. And this is something that God does. He does it by the power of the Holy Spirit at work through the Word. We see as well that God will accomplish his purposes for his people. It says in Romans 8, verse 28, that God works all things for good for those who are called according to his purpose and for those who love him. And so it was in Egypt, in Exodus. Even though the people suffered much, God was at work for their good to deliver them, just as God is at work for us to deliver us. And even though Pharaoh's heart is hard, and even though Pharaoh refuses to let the people go, his opposition to God's word is going to move God to perform many signs and wonders and miracles. Pharaoh strives to oppose God, and he obtains what he strives for, an eternal separation from God himself. But God also will thwart Pharaoh. Pharaoh turns his back on God, and so God turns his back on Pharaoh. But by his signs and wonders, God will deliver his people. The first one is that he turns the water of the Nile River to blood. It's an amazing thing. If you remember in Exodus, the first time the Nile River is mentioned is when the baby boys are being thrown into it, when a previous Pharaoh turns the Nile into a place of blood by the death of the baby boys. Moses is saved. Now the Nile will be turned back against Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and it turns to blood. The innocent blood of the Hebrews was shed in that river, and now that river is turned to blood with all the water of the land, so that the fish die and the people have nothing to drink and their lives are threatened. What God says happens: judgment on Egypt, but salvation for his people. In Luke 19, we heard of the one who is greater than Moses, Jesus himself. He is not simply one who is like God or a prophet sent by God, but he is rather God in the flesh. He is God by nature. And he speaks in the stead of God as well. We heard Jesus' words as he's approaching Jerusalem, and he sees the hardness of that city, the hardness of their heart, and he weeps over it. Would that you had known what makes for peace and the time of your visitation. Just as Pharaoh refuses to listen to the word that is sent to him, so the Pharisees and the scribes and the leaders of Israel refuse to listen to God when he comes in the flesh. But still God comes. God comes through water and through blood. The water and the blood that will flow from the side of our Lord when he hangs upon the cross, the blood that he sheds for the forgiveness of sins, the water that he's given to us in holy baptism that brings us life and salvation. Today, let us not harden our hearts, but rather may the Holy Spirit soften our hearts so that we listen and hear. Let our prayer today and throughout Lent be, God, grant that we receive your word, and grant that we may be devoted to it, and grant that the blood of Jesus Christ would not condemn us, but save us. And so we believe in him, and we thank him. And in our vocations, we also bear witness to his word. Whatever your calling is, whether as a worker or a friend or a family member, speak the word of God in the place where he puts you. But do not assume that it is your job to make others listen or hear. Simply do what is given to you. Bear witness to the truth, and let God's word do its work. Whether that work will harden the hearts of those who hear, or whether by God's grace the Holy Spirit will call them to faith, that's his job. Yours is simply to bear witness in your calling, to be that voice of God and speak in his stead and by his command to those who are near you and under your authority, trusting that God's word will do its work. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, you desire not the death of a sinner, but rather that we would turn from our evil ways and live. Turn us again, O God of our salvation, and let your anger cease from us. Spare us from every evil to body and soul. Lord, in your mercy. Look graciously on your church and preserve the gospel among us. Renew us in this penitential season to strive against the desires of the flesh, to grow in the joy of your salvation, and to look in love and service toward our neighbors, especially those of the household of faith. Lord, in your mercy. Look graciously on the families of our congregation. Defend your holy estate of marriage against every enemy that would divide. Strengthen parents for their duties, especially bringing up their children in the fear and instruction of the Lord. And preserve us all faithful to the end. Lord, in your mercy. Look graciously on our nation and its leaders, all civil servants and those who protect us and work for the common good. Drive away all disease and fear from us. Grant peace, we pray, O Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Behold in mercy all who are sick, who suffer, and who rejoice, especially our sister Jenny as she goes for her orthopedic consultation. And be with all expectant mothers and all whose labor is dangerous, the unemployed, those near death, and those who mourn. Give comfort to us who are dust and must return to dust, that a broken and contrite heart you will not despise. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to offer himself as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. Trusting in his mercy, bring us in repentance and faith to your altar to eat his body and drink his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, in your mercy. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine that is his body and blood as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at his command, and with his own words, we receive his testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, you have given yourself to us in this holy sacrament. Keep us in your faith and favor, that we may live in you even as you live in us. May your body and blood preserve us in the true faith to life everlasting. Hear us for the sake of your name.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen. Amen.